Thanks, Polina, for starting the stream. It is 8:41 p.m. on the East Coast. This is Julie Hewitt, the chair of the Pacifica National Board. This is a regular PNB meeting for Thursday, December 1st, 2022. We appear to have quorum. Let me start with a little preliminary, which is Aki Tanaka, would you be willing to be the recording secretary this evening? And
sure.
Okay. Would you be willing then to take the role?
Okay, here we go. Teresa?
Present.
Okay, Bud Cohen? Jim Dingman?
Here.
Jim is here. Vanessa Dixon-Briggs?
I am here.
Vanessa is here. Sue Goodwin? Okay, Heather Gray?
Here.
Heather is here. Donna Grimes? Okay, Judy Hewitt?
Here.
Judy is here. Everina Jones? Ivy Daxa?
Present.
Maria is here. Okay, Maria Martinez?
Present.
Okay, Maria is here. James McFadden?
Here.
James is here. Okay, Darin Pagano? Darin?
She's waving.
Waving her hand.
Okay, she's waving. Okay. Don Sayers?
Okay, here. Finally. Finally. Thank
okay,
you.
Good. All right. Don Sayers.
Presente.
Okay. Sean Rhodes?
I am here.
Sean's here. Okay. Jim Sagerton?
Here.
Yes, Jim is here. Shalom Salam? Okay. Aki is here. Mark?
Here.
Mark is here. Beth?
Here.
Beth is here. Roberto Willis?
Here.
Roberto is here. Susan Young? Susan? Let's see.
Susan is the one who is having difficulty calling in.
Oh, I see. Through the phone. Okay. So Purina is here. Purina?
I see a text from Susan that says those numbers didn't work for her.
Okay. I see her name there though now.
Yeah. So she's on the Zoom, but she can't speak. And I'm not sure she can hear either.
All right. So we have, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So that's 17. So call. Okay. All right.
Chair?
Yeah.
Donna's coming.
Okay, great. And Sue Goodwin is traveling and said she would try to join us, but was very likely to be late. I remember that now. So, okay.
I'm here.
And were we going to call staff members and consultants? Like Stephanie.
Yeah, Aki, would you mind calling the people who are listening?
Purina. Purina's here. John Stater.
Goodwin, I'm here.
You say Paulina, I'm here. John's here. Stephanie?
Here.
Stephanie's here, okay. Arthur Schwartz? Won't be here.
Arthur's not going to join us till the closed session.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Markeisha? Okay, all right. So we got that.
John Tatum's here.
And you got John Tatum.
Sure do.
Okay.
And Sue Goodwin is here.
Noted.
Okay. So next item on the agenda is reading the report out from the November 17th, 2022 meeting. I'll just warn you, this is a long report out. And so here it goes. The PNB met in closed session to hear confidential personnel, contractual, and financial reports. The PNB also passed the following motion. Whereas the ability to make payroll from pay period to pay period is uncertain, Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Pacific Executive Director is authorized to bullet negotiate with unions representing unionized employees a plan whereby, with the union's consent, in any pay period where only X percent of the total payroll funds are available, every staff member receives X percent of their normal pay, with deferred amounts recorded in an accrual account to be paid as expeditiously as possible. The union contracts now in effect would otherwise remain in effect. Bullet. If the unions do not agree to the previous plan, the total payroll funds available for each regular pay date would be allocated in the following order of priority, paying categories in full where possible, and where not, each staff member in that category receives the same fraction of their pay. And the categories are health benefits for all staff for the month ending pay period. Bullet. Union employee compensation. Bullet. Non-union non-management employee compensation. Bullet. Pacifica Affiliates Network and Pacifica Radio Archives director slash manager compensation. Bullet. Other managers compensation, EDs and GMs. If accrued payroll amounts are available as of a subsequent pay period, they should be paid with that payroll and before payments are made on other aged payables. Any accrued payroll amounts shall be paid as soon as practical after the sale of an asset. This authorization remains in force until December 31st, 2022, or such earlier time that the board acts to rescind it. The board may also act to extend this motion. And that completes the report out from November 17th. So the next item on the agenda is, excused absences. Is there a motion to excuse the absences of those who are not present this evening?
So moved.
You excused. Second.
I'll second.
Thank you.
Who would that be?
That would be, let me see. That's Bert.
And Sharon.
And Avelia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And for the moment, Donna Grimes, though, Vanessa suggested that she would join us as soon as she could. So are there any objections to the motion to excuse those absent? Hearing none, those absences are excused. Next up is identifying timekeepers and recording secretary. Well, technically speaking, I already covered the recording secretary component. I need a timekeeper for people.
I'll do it, Julie.
Thank you. And I need a timekeeper for items.
Darlene, you want to do it? Or you want me?
Okay. I can do it.
Thank you, Darlene.
This is the national board.
You're not muted, Ali.
I'm going to thank relevance this time.
Okay. I will mute myself.
Thank you. That was perhaps a junior director. Next up is agenda approval. That's a 5-minute item, and I will try to read through the agenda as quickly as possible. And it looks like Donna Grimes has joined us, right, Donna?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, great.
Okay, noted.
Thank you. So the third item on the agenda is, approving minutes of 11:17, except that we didn't send them out, so I don't think we'll be doing that. Item 4 is ED report and Q&A for 15 minutes. Item 5 is general counsel report if there was an open session version, but Arthur's not joining us till later. So item 6 is committee reports. And I'm not going to list all the committees there, but several committees have motions that were forwarded. Item 7
is... May I be heard on the Finance Committee report?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I presume it was you since we didn't reach quorum at the coordinating committee who put this together. But the committee is not asking the PMB to vote on the national office budget at this meeting. When we do this pending something, we keep the the item in the committee until the pending item is resolved, so we don't have to do it twice or it's left open somehow.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. So we'll strike the motion for the finance committee then. Thank you, Jim Sagerty. Item 7 is unfinished business. Item 8 is new business. Item 9 is moving into executive session at a time certain of 10 p.m. Item 10 is a confidential legal matter. Item 11 is a confidential confidentiality matter. Item 12 is the executive ED report and Q&A. Item 13 is the executive legal report and Q&A. Item 14, discuss what may be shared with LSBs in closed session. Item 15 is report out for kpftx.org. Item 16 is rise and report. Item 17 is adjourn at a time certain of midnight. Are there any, is there any discussion? Oh,
Beth with a question.
Hang on. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you.
Now I have a question.
Yes, now we may discuss the agenda. Go ahead.
Alan for the stack.
I just got mine and got it open, so I haven't gotten to zero in on this item, but under committee reports, was there a space included for the National Development Task Force? And if not, could we please include one?
There is space.
Okay, good. Thanks. That's all.
Teresa, you were next.
I'm on the stack too.
Yeah, I see you, Ali. Go ahead, Teresa.
Some things happened today. And I'm wondering if we should make sure that that is first on the agenda for executive session.
Hang on. I'm pretty sure that it is.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. It is. It's the first item. And I put it first for that very reason. Thank you. Ali Lexa?
Yeah, I'm looking at the two documents you sent. One says open and the other says executive version.
Yes.
And they both appear to be exactly the same. Am I missing something?
They're not quite exactly the same. So this is the part where we are, instead of having separate sessions and calling one, you know, and having to do a whole new roll call and all the rigmarole, sorry that I didn't mean for that to sound pejorative. I hope rigmarole is not pejorative. It's one long meeting where we That's not what we do. What we do is we pass a motion to go into executive session. Then we do the executive session and then we rise and report and come back out of executive session. And, so it's just one long agenda. So the public version, doesn't have any, details in the appendix from the executive session. And it has, you know, these kind of quirky titles for, you know, confidential legal matter without being very specific about what it is.
Got it. Thanks you for the explanation.
You bet.
We're at time, Chair.
Thanks.
For agenda.
But I also see Jim Sagerton's hand. So Jim, I'll recognize you with the, perhaps you'll make a motion to extend for the minute or two that you need, perhaps.
Sure. Move to extend for 1 minute.
Second.
Thank you, Jim Dingman. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for 1 minute? Hearing none. Go ahead, Jim Sagerton.
I think you just answered my question, but I just wanted to get some clarity. It used to be that we were not allowed to say anything, even about the subject matter, what we discussed in executive session. But now we're reading it out in the public meeting. So, for example, I had a reason to send something to the Secretary of the Finance Committee once, and it was the matter that was I needed to send to him was embedded in this agenda with it had the closed session information on it. But since, again, we're reading it, it's open, so that's no longer a concern. We just made the agenda for the, or at least a vague, you know, undetailed version of the agenda for the executive session public. So obviously it's not an issue anymore.
That is not an issue. But right. But what you can't do is share
the specifics, right?
Well, or you can't share the executive version of the agenda with others, right? Other than that, we're good, right? We've carefully scrubbed.
Got it.
The open version. Okay.
Good. Thank you.
You bet. Are there any objections to the agenda as proposed? Hearing none, the agenda is approved, which takes us to item number 3 on the agenda, which is approving minutes of November 17th, which I didn't send them out, so we won't be doing that this evening. We'll try to do that next week. That brings us next to the ED report and Q&A, and that is a 15-minute item, Darlene.
Yes.
Stephanie. Would you like to give your report?
Yes, thank you. Very pleased to announce that we were able to make payroll last pay period. So that was a nice burden of relief, and every single unit made their payroll. So that was great and greatly appreciated. We also were able to have the funds that were needed to pay our monthly payment in the pension fund. And we're not behind on any of those. I've had a few people send emails or make phone calls saying that we're behind on that, but we actually have not been behind on that since Netta was actually involved with us, and we've been making sure that we've been keeping that up beforehand. We are getting an audit of our pension plans. It isn't anything that is out of the ordinary, and so far the information and records that we've been able to give to the firm that is auditing it, again, which is something that happens on a regular basis, they're so far no problems, and everything is how it should be. So that's positive. We have a national, one of the things that has been an issue for a while, obviously, is we've had some issues with Great Plains. We were able to determine today that the reason that the server has been down for Great Plains is there was quite a bit of troubleshooting done with the staff at KPFK and with our national office as well. And after troubleshooting, they've realized that our Cisco Ethernet switch is actually not working. So they are. We are looking right now at trying to replace that unit as we can within our financial means. And our chief engineer at KPFK is making some phone calls to see if he can find a used replacement unit. And also other engineers that we have as well on staff are looking to see if they have any spare units that they can ship. So hopefully once we get all of that, all of the pieces that we need to get that back up and running, we'll be able to get reports once again from Great Plains and hopefully not run into the continued problems that we seem to be having. I'm having a meeting next week with the general managers, and one of the things that we will be discussing on our agenda is the national fundraiser that we're hoping to do within January, which is a tribute to Bob Dylan. And so we'll be talking about the logistics of that. And we will also be talking about the logistics behind some of the motions that were passed regarding programming and fundraising, just so we can all get on the same page and brainstorm and do what we need to do to get those moving forward. And we'll also most likely to be talking about the movement forward with underwriting and ideas that our divisions have regarding that and making sure that we're in compliance when we roll out that pilot program. And we also want to be able to get some information, too, with a lot of the PSAs that WBAI has been doing successfully, and try to pick their brains as well as how we can kind of replicate that across the board. We had the last time we met, one of our past due payables that we were concerned about at the time was our directors and officers insurance that was due, that was on the verge of being canceled. So I do want to give a shout out to a national board member who stepped up and paid that bill on behalf of Pacifica. So we have our D&O insurance and nothing was canceled. So I'm sure we will probably put that on our radar again for next week as well. Last time we met as well, there was a workshop on underwriting that was sponsored by NEDA, and so I did send out that link to some of the groups, some of the committees. So if there isn't anybody that has received that yet or didn't receive it through one of the committees that it might have been on, let me know, and I can send that out again. There also, the strategic plan that I wrote about a month or so ago has been reviewed by a few of the key board members and also some people within the strategic planning committee. So hopefully once I get feedback on and comments on that, we'll be able to send that around to the board so they can start reviewing that as well. Anybody have any questions?
All right, I see a bit of a stack here. I see Jim Sagerton, Lawrence, and Jim Dingman. Jim Sagerton, go ahead. He put his hand down.
Sorry, that was a legacy, sorry.
That's okay. Lawrence, you're up then.
Sorry, you had a hard time unmuting. Stephanie, thank you for your report. I have a question in regards to allegiance. Would it be a good practice to examine the allegiance contracts and bills? Were the original contracts for the entire network, were they paid in full, although all stations were not using the system? If so, were charges properly adjusted? I've heard that the training and support may not have been provided as promised. Do you have information on this from the database managers and the GMs? How many stations are currently using the allegiance? Do changes reflect a group discount? What tutorials are part of the package? Can you please provide me with the responses and the documents? If that's a fair request, Stephanie.
Yeah, the allegiance contract was sent out to one of the committees. I don't remember if that was development, strategic planning, or the fundraising committee. I don't remember right off the top of my head. The trainings for Allegiance are available to anyone that has access, any of the divisions that have access to it online. Some of our GMs have looked through some of their trainings just recently regarding different parts of the system that we want to use. The services on the original contract, what is owed to the company right now was really basically for work that was performed and trainings that were performed a couple of years ago. Not all stations are up to date with their payments. There are two stations that use it on a regular basis that are behind in their payment schedule. But if you you must not have been on one of the committees, Lawrence, that had that I sent the contract to, so I can forward that to you.
Thank you very much, Stephanie. Appreciate it. That's all, Chair. Thank you.
Jim Dingman's up.
Thank you. I was just curious if you could provide us with where we're at right now with the outstanding payables. I'm talking more, not talking about the central services problem. I'm talking about the outstanding payables issue. What's your projection about how that's growing monthly? And finally, I just want to make a quick comment about the underwriting and the public service announcement issue. Since some signals are very powerful, I'm thinking about KPFK, for example, or the case of KPFA, it seems to me that it would be an interesting strategy to get additional revenue in different areas by going to the counties that are responsible for example, the kind of things that are going on in New York. They're going to the Department of Transportation. They're going to the Department of Health. And these are innocuous 1.5 minute a day kind of PSAs that are being played that are getting additional revenue. But I just want to throw that out just as an idea for folks to consider when they're thinking about implementing this underwriting motion. But I'm more concerned about how the growth of the outstanding payables is at this point.
When I talk about the outstanding payables, I do break it down so it's not counting with the central services, even though on the chart that usually gets sent out, that has it in a separate column. But we are at this point close to about $1.8 million in past due payables. So it's it's growing roughly. It depends upon, you know, certain, it's odd because sometimes bills just kind of pop up that, you know, we haven't, that Markeisha and I haven't seen before, or there, you know, an email is sent. Some of the GMs have been sending, I know at KPFK, the interim general manager has been sending bills that he's been getting or he's been finding inside, you know, old emails. So it kind of grows. I wish it was an easy projection to figure out how much it grows every month, but it varies. But I would say each month it probably is by an additional 30,000 to 40,000. But again, that depends upon, you know, whether we've had a substantial amount of, you know, legal bills that month or a higher electric bill that month or something like that. So, and what was the other question? I'm sorry.
Well, the other thing was more a comment about how to implement the underwriting. Just a quick
The PSAs were definitely actually, you know, one of the things that we're going to be talking about. I've been talking to WBAI quite a bit, you know, regarding what it is that, you know, their outreach and the different brainstorming, myself, just about different PSAs that can be used and put on the air at the different stations. So we definitely will be doing outreach to each, you know, to different entities, including some other nonprofits that would be willing to pay to have an announcement put on the air in a PSA form.
Right. A quick follow up. You just said 1.8 million. That's an increase from 1.2 to 1.3. Does that mean that it went up 600,000 in 1 month?
I'm sorry. No, I would kind of dyslexic there with my numbers. No, right now it's only, I don't have the, I'm in my car actually.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. I can't look at the chart.
Okay.
Thanks. Beth, you're up.
Thank you. Yes, I wanted to ask again if Stephanie could please send the financial aspects of her report to the board in writing, especially in light of the fact that we're not getting regular financial reports in writing these days. Please, thank you.
Yes, this was the same, the financial reports regarding this week. I will send it out tomorrow. I wasn't able to do it this afternoon, but every week, with these meetings, there have been ED reports that have been sent out that has the cash balance, the past due payables, including a column for central services. It has the payroll that's due. It has a percentage of the breakdown of the majority of what the past due payables are for. You know, is it a legal fee? Is it an operational fee? It's also included for the past few weeks what the past due payables of concern are, with a notes column that states what is making it a concern, and that it's also included information regarding the valuation reports that were made for the signal valuations for KPFK and WBAI. So those have been sent every week with meetings. Just wasn't sent this afternoon, so I can send that out tomorrow morning.
To follow up on that, I'm sorry to report, I don't think I've gotten those. I'm not sure how my name would have been omitted, but if those have been going out on a regular basis, I would like the past ones too, because I haven't been getting those. Thank you.
They're connected to the emails with the agenda and the minutes that go out before every meeting. I forward it to Julie and Felina, and they attach it to those emails, and it goes out. I don't have access to the group email, so I don't send anything to the board directly.
Thank you, Stephanie. So that's the ED report and Q&A. The next item is on the agenda, technically, is the general counsel report, but Arthur said he would only come later in the close session portion of this meeting. So that takes us up to the committee reports. And I have the first up is the audit committee, which I gave 1 minute for. I don't think there's any report from the audit committee, but I just thought I would check to see. All right. Next up is the coordinating committee. I'll report that the coordinating committee did not make quorum when we were supposed to meet earlier this week, so there's really nothing to report from the coordinating committee. Next up was the finance committee, and I said in the agenda it says see appendix for motion, but as Jim Sagerton noted, it was a provisional motion, so Jim, did you want to give any other report out from the finance committee, though?
No, just to say that we did provisionally pass that budget with the proviso that we need the central services formula first, and we hope to do that next week. And so that's all. And thanks to you, we have the motion that we provisionally passed in the appendix, so anybody can look at it.
Thanks. Does anybody have questions for Jim Sagerton? Beth, is that a legacy hand?
That's a legacy hand. I'll get it.
Okay. I can get it. James McFadden, did you have a question?
I was just going to, yeah, the question is, maybe Beth can send me an email and I'll forward that financial report from the last DNB meeting to where I found it. Or she can just tell me which of the first part of the name it is. So I'll know which of her two emails.
The one that begins with
natural person.
Okay. Got it.
Thank you.
Chair, may I have a moment?
Yeah, go ahead, Lawrence.
James, can you also forward it to me, please?
Sure.
Assuming there are no further questions for the Finance Committee, next up is the Governance Committee.
So the Governance Committee, we ran into conflicts with other committees' meetings. So we canceled the November meeting, and we are going to meet on December the 21st, which is the third Wednesday of the month, our regularly scheduled Governance Committee meeting. That's all I have to report.
Got it. Thank you. Next up is the Elections Committee.
The Elections Committee has not met since we were told that we could not have an election this year.
Fair enough. That's a report. Thank you. Next up is Programming Committee. Heather?
Yes, Julie, thank you. I just wanted to mention a few things. First of all, I wanted to thank the board for passing actually a couple of issues that we have brought before the board on podcasting and also political prisoners. So we're working on trying to implement all this. But I don't know, Ali Lexa was the one who presented this to the board. I think we need to do more outreach work actually on the podcasting. Ali, are you there? Do you want to say anything about podcasting at all?
Just that I put together a how-to, which I distributed to the PNB and to the programming committee, that could be distributed to programmers around the network so they can, get their podcasts and shows listed on all those different aggregators and search engines. And, that's all. If anyone needs me to send it again, just ask.
It's really excellent what Ali put together. It's a great manual.
Thank you.
Yeah. I completely agree. Yeah. Thank you, Ali. Anything else on that, Ali?
Well, it's nice to see that, if you look at the reports on some of the shows that because I added about 70 shows from KPFK a few months ago to some of those aggregators like Spotify and those, which have tracking systems. So I've been looking at some of the tracking, and it's interesting to see how some of the shows are picking up audiences and listeners in different parts of the country and the world. So it's definitely something that everyone that wants to get their message out there should be jumping on.
All right, wonderful. So I do, thank you for that, Ali. So I want to mention also about political prisoners, and I'm going to thank the board again for supporting that effort. I did send out, as some of you might have seen, some phone numbers of people who could be called and interviewed about Jamil El Amin, but our intent is to do a lot more of that and get more phone numbers and names of people who could be interviewed on the vast range of political prisoners that we had at our meeting. I also sent out the recording of the meeting that we held when we were talking about political prisoners, and you can listen to that recording. I sent out the link to everyone. If you didn't get it, let me know. I do have that on my YouTube account, actually. This past week, we were fortunate to hear from Gerald Horn, scholar Gerald Horn, about the 1619 Project and also critical race theory. So one of the things that we have talked about wanting to do, in that there are many people in the government who don't want these issues being taught or items being taught, like the 1619 Project and critical race theory. So we decided that we would like to explore the possibility of community radio stations across the country addressing some of these issues and educating the public about the history and so forth. So that's one of the things we're working on right now. We had a wonderful meeting the other night, but we don't have anything concrete decided on that at this point. So that's probably it, Julie. And I wanted to thank everybody for attending these meetings as well. We will be doing more about the 1619 Project. I was talking with Ursula about this also. I guess the other thing I want to mention is that one of the things that Grace Aaron had brought up before the programming committee that we are also working on, which will relate to some of these topics that we're addressing, is to have a national news program. So that's something that we are continuing to talk about. We were not able to have that discussion at the last meeting. Ziri Rudeau is working on that somewhat, and so she was not able to give a presentation this week, but we'll get back to the board about that as well. That's it, I think.
Thank you, Heather. I see a bunch of hands up, so let me see if these are hands up for program committee questions. James McFadden?
Sorry, legacy hand.
Got it. Susan Young?
Yeah, I have one for the programming, but also one that we skipped over for elections because I couldn't unmute fast enough. And with the elections ones, very simple. Julie, were you able to send out a memo to LSBs that we are not holding one this year? And Stephanie, were you able to send out a memo to GMs that we were not holding an election this year?
I'm sorry, I dropped the ball on my part, so and I wouldn't blame Stephanie if she did too, just because stuff's been going on, and I think I was going to send mine first. So, but that is like number one for takeoff for me. Once we're done with this meeting. Well, okay, not tonight. Tomorrow. Let's be frank.
Understood. It's part of the motion, and I wanted to make sure we followed through, and I've had people ask me. So back to programming, one of the points that I have made is that I would encourage us to consider some of the criminal justice issues in Texas to rise to the level of political prisoners. And we've got great people to talk to. Crystal Mason, who went to jail for trying to vote. The ACLU defending an immigrant for having access to abortion. And also I've got a wonderful man who was on death row for however many years, got exonerated, and is very effective about how minority communities are targeted. So I want to be sure that those are on the table to be considered, because I think the political dimensions of that are profound. So I have to say.
So I want to say thank you, Susan, for that. Thank you.
Sharon, for the stack.
Gotcha, Sharon. You'll be after Jim Sagerton. Sorry. Lawrence, go ahead.
I have two questions. The first one is to Ali. In regards to the Spotify agitator, as we called it, I have Spotify. Do I go to the search and punch in KPFK? Would I be able to get programming from KPFK from Spotify? Then I have a question for Heather.
Go ahead, Ali. Ali, if you're speaking, you're still muted.
Muted, yeah.
Hold on, let me open up Spotify and I'll walk you through it really quick.
No, you don't have to walk me through it. I think I know how to do it. I just need to know if I could just put in KPFK or what is it that I have to do.
You open up, you go to podcasts, type okay. in KPFK, and all the KPFK podcasts will come up in a big long list.
Okay, thank you.
And then if you click on, like I'm looking at it right now, I see podcast KPFK, and I see the car show, and I click on the car show, and then all the episodes that are available will be there. Oh, and you cool. can subscribe to it or listen to individual ones.
Cool, thank you. And then, thank you so much. And then, in regards to political prisoners, Heather, you know, I've done a lot of work in that arena. I used to have an internet show where I interviewed, supporters of the Iman, Jamil Alameen, Leonard Peltier, Mumia, the personal doctor of Mumia. So I have that content available. If you would like to utilize, I'll be more than happy to share it with you. And then, Mutula Shakur, Dr. Mutula Shakur, has just been, liberated. And there's a lot of information out there. They just had a huge party for him in, Jericho in Oakland. So I'm pretty sure you're aware of that, but, I'm definitely willing to share content with you. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Lawrence. I look forward to that. And thanks for talking about Shakur as well. Thank you.
Time for programming item is up.
Oh, thank you, Darlene.
Move to extend for...
Go ahead, Jim Secretary. So exhausting the stack that I see is Jim Dingman, Jim Sagerton, Sharon, and Vanessa. So it's four people. Any objections to the motion to extend, to exhaust the stack?
This is Teresa. If this means we're going to start our executive session late, then I do object. I think people need to think twice here.
We're actually doing okay. But... Was that a real objection? I'm sorry. I don't mean to say, was that a real objection? I don't mean to. Did you object?
No, it wasn't. It was not a real objection, I guess you might say.
But okay. Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out, Teresa, because it is true. Every time we extend time, you know, does jeopardize our ability to get to a closed session in a timely fashion. Jim Dingman, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll be short and sweet. I just wanted to add to Heather's report that we have permission from Yale University, from the Gilder Lehrman Center at Yale, to use the audio from their two-day conference on the question of slavery being taught in the U.S. classroom. That conference occurred several weeks ago. It's still timely and relevant, and it raises questions which I hopefully will address when we get to the Strategic Planning Committee. Thank you.
Jim Sagerton.
Thank you. I had mentioned this to Heather once before, somewhat tongue in cheek, but I'm thinking of it as a more actually realistic suggestion to accomplish two things. One would be to have some children's programming. Another would be to go toe to toe with the right wing people who are in your face and creating controversy. And I'm thinking, wouldn't it be nice if we had a children's programming where we taught some children a child's version of critical race theory? You know, in your face. Create some buzz. Just a thought. Putting it out there. That's all.
Thank you, Jim Sagerton. Did you want to say anything, Heather?
No, but thanks, Jim. I look forward to talking with you. Well, I know we talked about it, but I look forward to having more discussion. We'll do it later. Okay.
Thanks. Sharon, you're next.
Well, I just wanted to mention that here in New York, we're going to be having a ceremony called the Gate of the Exonerated, and it's going to be on December the 19th, and it's going to honor those people who have been exonerated, including the Central Park Five from various crimes. There's going to be a plaque put up and a wall put in place to honor those people. This will be the first time in 100 years that a wall will have been named in Central Park. Now, there's a curriculum that goes along with it that can be used to teach people about exonerated people and prison people in general, going from kindergarten up to high school. So it's really going to be a very exciting kind of an event on the 19th of December.
Thank you, Sharon. Next up is Vanessa.
So I'm not sure that I'm asking this question during the right time, but I thought that someone asked during the program committee report about the notice about the status of elections that was going to be sent to the station. So I don't know if I'm off topic, but I just wanted to follow up with that. Is it appropriate to ask now?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay. So, want to know if that's something that can be, just announced right now. Like, what is the plan? So that the public knows. I don't know if it's just to go to management so that the, LSBs know. Is it something that the public can know at this point?
Well, A, we're on open stream. So everything we say, the public does know, right?
No, that's why I'm asking if yeah. It can be announced.
So what I think, probably makes a fair bit of sense, and you're raising a good point, Vanessa, that, I think, what was going to happen was, I was going to notify all the LSB chairs and, Stephanie was going to notify the GMs. That was part of the motion. But you're raising a really good point, which is it's not just, programmers and station staff and LSB chairs and LSB delegates who need to know this. It's a broader public that needs to know about this too. And so we probably ought to, consider preparing some carts that we could play on stations and, maybe it would be easy to just, I don't know whether it makes more sense for individual stations to prepare their own carts or to prepare them, basically the same information, right? I mean, that's what I'm just trying to point out is it's going to be roughly the same information. But maybe it makes more sense to have it in local voices that listeners recognize so that, they're perhaps more apt to pay attention to that than, a random stranger from another station or from the national office's voice.
Okay. I'll leave that up to management. Just thank you.
Yeah, and that's a good suggestion. Thank you. That is the programming committee. The next item on the agenda is the strategic planning committee. And that's a 20-minute item because there are two motions there. Go ahead, Jim Dingman.
All right. Thank you. First of all, we had an emergency meeting yesterday, basically, inspired by the outstanding payable issue, but I will address that in a moment. We have had, continually throughout the past few weeks, workshops where we're bringing, and opening up, essentially like town halls to our listener members. The last one we conducted was on Generation Z. We just spent the entire session talking about the listening characteristics of Generation Z. And of course the recommendation out of that meeting was essentially we should let those guys take the whole place over. Now let me get into the motions that we passed. The motions passed were essentially directed at the outstanding payable problem. And I'm going to read the be resolved. I sent out the motions to everybody a few minutes ago in a PDF format so they can read them and they're far lengthier. But the first one I'm going to read concerns the CPB funding issue. And the be it resolved is that the be it resolved that the Pacifica Foundation will manage and fill out an application for the community service grants of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with the participation of all units that will be handled in a timely fashion to be finished as regards the deadline of the CPB application process. So be it resolved that the Pacifica Foundation will move as a team to make sure that the application process for the CPB and any other federal, state, county, and municipal monies that come available in this coming year be completed on time during the calendar year 2023. Now, we know that we have problems. There are many in being, quote, considered copacetic with the CPB. However, we did not do it last year. We are all aware of the need for extra revenue. And the thinking is that, okay, let's go ahead and do it and see what happens. And if we are, again, rejected, at least we'll have a better understanding of what we need to do to improve the whole process going forward. So in terms of implementing that, we've been having, we're going to have discussions. I asked Ursula Rudenberg to reach out to all the affiliates who are at this point receiving money from the CPB, and we're going to be conducting and consulting with them as to having them reacquaint all of us as to how to get it, how to do the application process. But the key thing is to start now and start to iron out these problems. So that's the gist of the motion. First motion.
Yeah, but if you're asking the PMB to pass it, you have to read the motion.
Oh, you want me to read the whole damn thing? Okay.
Well.
All right, let me dig it out then. All right, hold on.
In principle, I pasted it in the agenda.
I know you did. You posted, I did in fact read the, read part of it there.
Point of information.
Teresa, go ahead.
So this came out of the programming committee. Is this not something that our
this is the strategic planning committee now.
Is this not something that our ED would do, would supervise or initiate anyway? Or not? Do we need a motion to get this done?
We need a motion to get the process started. Yeah, I think so. And whereas, I'll read the motion now. I'll read what I see that has been put here. Whereas the Pacifica Foundation has a multiplicity of tough financial problems that is frustrating its potential going forward, as seen by the current fiscal crisis, be it resolved, the Pacifica Foundation will manage and fill out an application for the community service grants of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with the participation of all seven units that will be handled in a timely fashion to be finished as regards the deadline of the CPB application process. So be it resolved that the Pacifica Foundation will move as a team to make sure that the application process for the CPB and any other federal, state, county, and municipal monies that come available in this coming year are to be completed on time during the calendar year 2023. And it's a no-brainer. It just means we move forward and apply. And I also put in as a proviso other money, because people have been talking about other federal monies that we are perhaps entitled to get. So let's try to concentrate on getting these things done so we can see where we stand with the federal government or the CPB one way or the other.
Okay, Vanessa seconds if Jim is making a motion.
I am indeed making a motion.
Well, it's a committee motion, so we actually need a second.
Okay, you're right.
And Beth to the stack for discussion.
Okay, so I see a bunch of hands. I see Susan Lawrence, Beth, and Darlene. Susan, go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, I think what I hope the spirit of Jim's motion is that volunteers will help gather up the necessary information about what the gaps are that need to be filled and follow through. Because this is very burdensome, and as you know, Jim, better than anybody, we don't have the listenership to be able to justify CPB funding, so we need to prioritize where people's time is spent. If there are volunteers who want to check on how all the stations are doing and meeting the different CPB requirements and what the gaps are, I think that's great. If you're simply saying, Stephanie, you need to get this done, I would vote against it. Let me just finish, Jim. Okay. Regarding other governmental entities, I think that's absolutely great. I would hope that Beth's task force would give consideration to that and maybe has. And that I know Stephanie gave some ideas, and we can, for our, at our local development committees, work on those ideas as well.
Okay.
Lawrence?
Thank you. One of the things that we discussed at length at the SPC meeting, I believe it was last night, was that we need to definitely support Stephanie. We should, and I think that's why Jen's motion includes a team. And it's just the best practice. I sit on two other nonprofit boards that apply for grants and are always applying for grants. And it's a best practice to see where we stand, whether we are denied or rejected or are asked to provide additional information. It's just a good practice to get, for lack of a better word, sort of like an Experian report when you're denied for credit or something like that, something similar to that. So I support the SPC strategy in regards to starting to apply wherever applications are available, that we apply and we get answers in regards to what exactly do we need to bone up on, if you will, in regards to these applications. So I completely support this motion, and I ask my colleagues to also support this effort. Thank you.
Beth.
Thank you. Yes. The National Development Task Force has been tracking this item regularly at our regular monthly meeting all year with Stephanie. And we've gone to great lengths to get local community advisory boards stood up at the stations that didn't have them. And the CAB chair from KPFK has been working to coordinate all the local coordinators and kind of get them organized as a body. He has a checklist he's working on for what it takes to qualify for these grants, as does Stephanie. They've both been working that process. I have no reason to expect that she won't be applying for those grants this year, given what we've heard from her throughout the year at the National Development Task Force. And I've got to say, it's puzzling that the Strategic Planning Committee would have moved forward on this without once having consulted with her or us about what's already being done. Thank you.
Arlene?
Yeah, I think, thanks for that, Beth. Jim, you say this would be a learning experience as to what the Corporation for Public Broadcast would need from KPFA, from the Pacifica stations to get any of the money. But they told us that in 2010. When they turned us down in 2010, they told us why. And they told us we had 7 years to fix our problem. Nothing happened. And in 2017, they wrote to the Pacifica Foundation again, and they said, we are reaffirming that we are done with you. You are not getting money from the CPB. So this is not the first time you've asked a lot of people to spend a lot of time on CPB events. When I first came on the board, this was one of your big projects for getting money, and a lot of time and a lot of effort was put into it. A lot of people were asked for a lot, and nothing came of it. Please, for God's sakes, give the stations breathing room to do some of the motions that you have already gotten passed through the PBB about Who should do what, when, where, now, because you have a good idea. Give it a little bit of human pacing.
Darlene, your time is up.
Thank you.
Vanessa?
So I agree with the idea. I think it's a great idea. At a minimum, you know, on an exploratory basis to at least see where we're deficient. With the understanding that, you know, it's not going to all get dumped on Stephanie given every other emergency that's happening. And as long as there's not some unforeseen, penalty such as, oh, you applied now, so now you can't apply again for 3 years or something, just something crazy we might not be aware of. But in principle, I absolutely agree.
Next up is McFadden.
Yeah, I just want to say that I disagree with Darlene. I think the idea that, you know, that funding was denied 5 years ago, and that means for eternity we're never going to be able to get CPB funding is absurd. We, we need to figure out what we need to do, and we may not get it this year, but we sure need to go through to find out what the various I's that need to be dotted and T's that need to be crossed so that the following year it's going to sail through quickly. And we got a list of stuff. I don't think it's going to be that difficult. It's not going to be some giant burden. We just need to get it done and not keep avoiding it. Thank you.
Jim Dingman.
Yeah, I just want to respond quickly to some of the comments. First of all, I have consulted with Stephanie. And so, we're all, on the same track on this to get it done, to do it now. Secondly, a task force was set up in a motion several weeks ago to actually implement this. Thirdly, if one recalls, we have the opportunity right now because we have, I know there's a difference, as Julie made yesterday clear, between AFSs and AFRs. But since we're current right now with the AFSs, they can be turned into AFRs. So, and I believe that one of the problems we have to solve is the question of reconstructing AFRs several years ago, which was brought up yesterday when we talked about this. But tomorrow we're going to be meeting with a general manager from a station in New Mexico who has successfully gotten money from the CPB for many years. And we're going to start trying to figure this out. And so, and then the issue about I brought up the last time, well, that actually, if you recall, I think that was brought up a few weeks ago by you, Darlene, and basically, you know, if I recall, nothing happened because we had a little, I don't think much energy was devoted to it at all. Now we're talking about devoting energy, and I personally volunteered to get involved in that process. I will ask others to help, and let's move forward and let's see what happens.
Susan? Susan Young?
Yes. Okay. I am concerned about several of us going after the same thing. And I would very much like to hear, and possibly possibly Stephanie, strategic planning, and Beth and the development committee can first compare notes about where they are, so we are not duplicating efforts, and so that we can benefit fully from work that's already been done. So on the basis of that, I would like to move to postpone this motion until the next ENB meeting so that that consultation can take place.
All right, I object.
Well, hang on. Is there a second to Susan's motion?
I'll second it.
Second.
Alan will second it.
Yeah, thank you, Teresa and Donna. Okay, so the discussion now is strictly of the motion to postpone to the next meeting, which, oh, I guess I have to turn my calendar over, is December 8th. So it's a week from tonight. Lawrence, is this about?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I understand what Susan's going with this, and I appreciate in principle what she's saying, but I don't think we should be in competition with each other in regards to, you know, if somebody has been spending a year on a committee and yet we have not filed any applications, there's a disconnect there. So we definitely have to marshal our efforts together and coalesce in regards to how we're going to move forward. I think what this motion offers is a way to move forward. So that's why I oppose postponing.
Jim Dingman.
Yeah, I oppose it because, look, I chaired the WBAI Community Advisory Board for 5 to 6 years. And I chaired it and went to training. I mean, it's like, you know, there are other people on this board who have been chairs of community advisory boards. I chaired it when we were receiving money from the CPB. And I might add that when we were thrown out of the program, I don't think anybody here ever met with an inspector general from the CPB. I did, and had great lengthy discussions with him. So, you know, I just think that this procrastination, and we just have to move forward and get this stuff underway. It's not a big deal. We just got to get it underway. And I don't see me stumbling on other people's toes or anything like that. I think strategically, in the midterm and short and long term, this is something that the foundation has to take the step to apply for now, not wait and dilly-dally about this.
Beth?
I intend to continue to work with the National Development Task Force on track, doing what we've been doing, working toward application at the appropriate annual cycle. I guess it'll be sometime in May. It's the exact date varies, but that's generally the target date. I don't have any reason to think that's not going to happen. I can't think of why I would jump on a parallel duplicate effort when this is already underway. I would think, I mean, to me, this does seem duplicitous and
duplicative.
Rather chaotic, given that there has been no effort to find out what's already going on, what's already been taken care of. So as far as I'm concerned, we're on this. We've got it covered, and the last thing I need is another set of meetings to go to when people are welcome. Anyone who wants to work on this is welcome to join us in the development task force. Thank you.
Donna?
You know, it just seems to me there's no reason why we should not, coordinate efforts, at least find out what's going on. I think it's smart to find out what's going on, among the different, committees. And if there is duplication, to identify that. If there's more information to be shared, I mean, I think there's only a benefit to just delaying for 1 week so that those groups would meet. And I would say, I would hope they would meet and not just keep kicking the can down the road, but meet during this week. Is a week adequate for those committees to meet? Just touch base. Thank you.
Thanks. Jim Ding.
Chair, the 20 minutes for this is up.
Okay, so I want to be clear that this was 20 minutes for the Strategic Planning Committee in general. So, and this was only the first of two motions. So, we would need a motion to extend time.
Motion to extend 10 minutes.
Second, Lawrence.
Thank you. Any objections to the motion to extend for 10? I will point out that that puts us right at 10 p.m., which is our time certain for adjourning to executive session. Not adjourning. Moving into executive session. Our old habits die hard. Any objections to the motion to extend for 10 minutes?
I will object.
Okay. Thank you, Darlene. Aki, could you take a roll call vote on the motion to extend for 10 minutes. So a vote for yes means extend. A vote no means go to vote on the motion.
Okay. Teresa?
No.
Okay. Teresa is no. Jim Dingman?
Yes.
Jim is yes. Vanessa Dixon?
Yes. Briggs?
Yes. Sue Goodman?
Yes.
Sue is yes. Okay. Heather Gray?
Yes.
Heather is yes. Donald Grimes?
No.
Donald is no. Let's see. Arirexa? Arirexa?
Pass, please.
Pass, okay. Maria Martinez? Maria? James McFadden?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Darlene Pagano?
No.
Darlene is no. Ron Sayers?
Yes.
Ron says yes. Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Sean is yes. Jim Sagerton?
Yes.
Jim is yes, okay. Saran Saram?
Yes.
Saran is yes. I'll pass. Mark?
Abstain.
Mark is abstain. Beth? Thank good. Beth?
Abstain.
Okay, Beth abstains. Igberto Willis? Igberto? Susan Young?
I vote no to extend.
Okay. No to extend. Okay, let me get back to, let's see, Arirexa, you passed. Ari?
Oh, no.
No, okay. Maria Martinez? Maria? Okay, I don't hear from you. I'll vote no. Let's see. Igberto? All right. Judy Hewitt? How do you vote?
I'll abstain.
Okay, all right. Okay, so we have 9 yes, 6 no, and 3 abstentions, so it's extended.
Okay, so next up,
Madam Chair.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Tatum.
This motion requires a 2/3 vote.
Okay.
So, we have, how many people voted?
Nine, six, 15, 18.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 18. That's all the yeses and the noes.
18. Oh, just the yeses and the noes?
I want the count.
That's 15.
Of all the yeses and all the noes together.
That's 15.
Okay, so 2/3 requirement is 10.
Okay, so it doesn't pass then. Okay, and all right.
So the motion to extend time doesn't pass. So we're back to the, we're right back at the motion on postponing, I believe.
All right.
All right. Okay. So the time is extended.
So yes, we're right back to the motion to postpone. Thank you, Mr. Tatum. Are there any objections to the motion to postpone to next week?
I object.
Got it. Aki, could you take a roll call vote this time on the motion to postpone to next week?
And this one only requires a majority.
Got it. Thank you. Go ahead, Aki.
Chair, request for information.
Okay, Teresa?
Yeah, hang on, Aki. What was your request for information, Lawrence?
If this motion to postpone does not prevail,
we go right to the vote on the motion that has been proposed.
That would be correct because we did not pass the motion to extend discussion. So, yes, go ahead, Aki.
Okay, Teresa, to postpone or not to postpone?
Yes, the answer is yes.
Yes to postpone, okay. Jim Greenman?
No.
Jim is no. Okay, Vanessa?
No.
Jim, Vanessa is no. Sue Goodwin?
Yes. Can I speak to yes. why?
Not really.
Is that out of order? Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Have right. Sorry, Sue.
Heather Gray?
No to extend.
No to extend.
Postpone, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, no to postpone. Okay. Donna Grimes?
Yes, to postpone.
Postpone, okay. Ariraksa?
Yes.
Postpone. Okay, postpone. Marianne Martinez? Marianne? James McFadden? Postpone?
No.
Okay. No, okay. Darian Pagano?
Yes.
Yes, to postpone. Ron Sayers. Ron?
No.
Okay, Sean Rhodes, to postpone or not?
No.
No, okay. Jim Sagerton. Jim?
Oh, Jim, you came through very fuzzy.
No.
No, okay. Sharon Saddam?
Abstain.
Abstain, okay. Aki's gonna vote yes. Mark?
No.
No, okay. Beth Van Gutten? Beth?
Yes.
Beth is yes, okay. Igbeardo with us? Susan Young? Susan? Okay, let me get back to the ones I missed. Maria Martinez?
Yes.
Okay, Marianne's yes. All right. Abstain. Okay, so Igbeardo? Is that on? Okay, Susan Young again? Susan?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Judy Hewitt?
I'll abstain.
Okay. You abstain? Okay. I think I got all the votes except for Gilberto. Okay, so.
Can I change my vote? Is it too late? I want to vote no.
Okay, so who is this? Sharon?
Sharon Salam.
Sharon Salam, okay. And is Sharon Salam votes from abstain to no. Okay, so it's going to be 99 with one abstention. So it's tied, so it didn't pass.
At this point, the chair is allowed to change her vote if she wishes to. If not, it stays negative.
Right. Okay.
Gee, thanks, Mr. Tatum, for the awesome opportunity.
Okay, you're welcome.
I'm thinking about. I'm going to leave it where it was.
All right. So it didn't pass. All right.
Yeah, go ahead, Chair.
So that now means that we go straight to a vote on the motion, the original Strategic Planning Committee motion on the on CPP funding, because we didn't extend time and we didn't postpone it. So that's where we're at. So
okay. All right.
So, well, hang on. Let me just first check and see. Are there any objections to the CPB funding motion from the Strategic Planning Committee?
Beth objects.
All right. Go ahead. Okay. Go to a vote.
Okay, Teresa? Teresa?
Passes.
Passes, okay. Jim Dingman?
Yes, in favor.
Jim is yes, okay. Vanessa? Took some breaks?
Yes.
Okay. Sue Goodwin? Sue? Okay, back to you. Donna Grimes?
No.
Donna is no, okay. Heather Gray?
Yes.
Heather is yes, okay. Iberia is not here. Ariraksa?
Ari? Pass.
Pass. Okay. Pass. Okay. Maria Martinez?
No.
No, okay. James McCracken?
Yes.
James is yes. Darlene Pagano?
No.
Darlene is no. Lawrence Sayers? Lawrence?
Pass.
Okay, you pass. Okay. Sean Rose?
Yes.
Sean is yes. Okay. Jim Sagatin?
Yes.
Jim is yes. Shalom Salam?
No.
Shalom is no. Aki is going to be no. Mark?
Yes.
Mark is yes. Beth Van Guten?
No.
Beth is no. Okay. Iberto? Susan Young?
No.
Susan is no. Let me get back to Teresa. Teresa Allen?
Allen says no.
Teresa is no. Okay. Sue Goodwin?
I'll pass.
We're going to be the final, but...
At this point, right. It would be an abstention, Sue.
Okay. Sue is abstention. Okay. Ariraksa, you passed. Hang on, Ari. What did you say? You're breaking up.
Yeah, Jim, it's virtually impossible to tell what you just said. Ariraksa? Well, I mean, we can hear you, but not intelligibly.
To hear her vote, I heard other.
Can you put it in the chat?
Okay, let me get back to Lawrence Sayers. How do you vote?
I vote yes.
Lawrence vote yes. Okay, so only one left is Ariraksa.
Yeah, I vote no.
Okay, I need both no. And the last is Judy Hewitt.
Can you give me the count of votes, please, Aki?
Sure.
James, you need to stay on mute unless you're trying to speak. You're filling the whole space up with static.
Okay, Judy, the vote right now is 8 yes, 9 no, and 1 abstention. Eight yes, 9 no, and 1 abstention, Judy.
Thank you.
Jim Sagatin's vote would make a difference, so it's better for the chair to make a difference other than...
Yeah, let's Jim Sagatin, I'm not sure whether we have a vote recorded for you.
He said yes.
He said yes? Okay.
Yep.
Well, and I'll say yes.
Jeff.
Okay, Sharon says yes.
Sharon says yes. And I still can't tell what, yeah, right. And I still can't tell what Jim Sagerton's trying to say.
Okay, all right. Hey, Jim?
Jim, let's give it one more try.
I thought he already voted.
He did, but he's trying to say something, and I'm not sure whether it was germane to...
I think he was making a comment about Sue Goodwin, that she said pass, and it was being taken down as an abstain. If that's what his garbling was saying, that's what I think I heard.
Right.
Yeah, that was what he said.
Because we've, yes, and that's because we've already been, okay, got it.
So Sue, how'd you vote? Sue?
To Goodwin.
I still have questions, so I have to abstain.
Okay, all right. So, Chair, right now it's 9 yes, 8 no, and 1 abstention without your vote.
I'll abstain.
Okay, so it's 9 to 8 with 2 abstentions.
So the motion carries.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, so it is 10:06 and, we have, another, I'm just pointing out where we are in the agenda. There's another motion from the Strategic Planning Committee. And then after that, the items are before we go into executive, session is, unfinished business, which will take us no time at all. New business, which would take us a really long time. And then that's the only information that, or that's the only material left on the, open session part of the agenda before we would, move into closed session. So we're at a point.
Point of inquiry?
Yeah, yes, go ahead, Susan.
Would it be in order to move to go into executive session now?
It would be because it's 10:07, so it's past our time certain. And what that would
be. So I make such a motion.
I second such a motion.
All right, thank you. And so what that would mean, folks, I think, for all practical purposes, is that these other items, the second Strategic Planning Committee motion and the other unfinished and new business items would almost surely be postponed to the next meeting, because I'm just guessing that it's dubious that when we rise and report that we would then want to take these items back up again yet this evening, because it will presumably be late at that point.
Point of information, Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Jim Dingus.
The motion that we agreed upon yesterday is an action item that would be started to be implemented this December. So I object to the motion to postpone. I asked for another 10 minutes so we can present this other motion.
So there's actually not a motion to postpone. It's a motion to move into executive session. And so what I'm saying is, Mr. Tatum, is that a debatable motion?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry, I didn't catch who.
That's Beth.
Beth, go ahead.
Yes, would that then mean that we don't receive the report from the Development Task Force tonight?
Oh. Well, you're right. We'd be stuck, you know, in the middle of the Strategic Planning Committee report if we pass the motion to move into closed session now.
Point of information.
Go ahead, Susan.
As we are at a time certain for going into executive session, I guess I'm asking Mr. Tatum or asking the chair, what vote would be needed to sustain going into executive session now versus not going into executive session now?
Go ahead, Mr. Tatum. Would this be a majority vote or more than that?
I believe that it would be a 2/3 vote, and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
We've already approved an agenda that said executive session would be at 10 o'clock p.m. and now is after that. So we're in violation of something that we approved. And in order to do that, you know, go stray away from something that we already approved, it would require two thirds. That's my opinion. Thanks for the question, Susan.
Thank you, so, Mr. Tatum. Go ahead, Susan.
Point of information, yeah. So then, as I understand it, my motion to go into executive session is consistent with what was adopted in the agenda. Opposing that in order to extend discussion about other agenda items essentially should require two-thirds. Is that correct? I realize this is inverse.
Yeah, that is correct, because at this point, we're already supposed to be in executive session, and we're not. So we're in violation of the agenda that we previously approved by a majority vote, and now we want to change the agenda in as it relates to the time. So therefore, it requires a two-thirds vote to stray away from a pre-approved agenda. Yes, you're right.
Well, can I just ask a quick question?
Go ahead, Sharon.
If we postpone this agenda, can we put it on at the top of the next meeting's agenda? Would that solve the problem?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, generally speaking, we have a practice of, you know, after the preliminaries doing the ED report, but we could do it before the ED report. I mean, that would be one way to make sure that it really does happen and doesn't get delayed. Jim Dingman?
The motion into the record, and then I will withdraw wanting to, you know, have an argument about whether we go into executive session or not. I just want to read the motion for the record so the listening audience can hear it.
Okay, so the only thing I'm worried about, I personally don't have an objection to that, but I think that's probably not a Robert's Rules thing, because at the moment we are, the motion that's on the floor is to move into closed session. So,
Chair, request for information.
You go ahead, Lawrence.
So in a case like this, where something cannot be read into the record.
Hello?
I think one of the ways, Teresa, you need to mute. One of the ways to mitigate this is by posting the agenda on KPFTS, where people could see the motion that came out of the SPC in regards to you know, since I would hopefully ask you to consider a special opportunity for Jim to read that into the record. If not, then the agenda should be posted on KPFTS immediately, Chair.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Tatum.
Another way out of this is Jim can ask for a point of personal privilege and ask the chair to rule on whether he can read the motion into the record before we go into executive session. That's a point of personal privilege.
I make a point of personal privilege then.
Go ahead, Jim Dingman.
Okay. This is a motion that we passed yesterday. I'll read it into the record. Whereas the Pacifica Foundation is experiencing a harsh fiscal situation that all are trying to redress, and we have constantly growing outstanding payables that currently amount to over $1.2 to $1.3 million, the amount of factors, be it resolved that the PNB authorizes it starting in December 2022, There will be at least one day devoted to national fundraising to give badly needed revenue to tackle the outstanding payables to the national office and help the ED draw down the deficits that face Pacifica. Be it resolved that this will be handled through the Strategic Planning Committee and the Programming Committee, that's I rewrote it, with the participation of management at all 7 units, and the results of this will be reported to the PNB on a biweekly going forward. And in the resolution, there was also discussion of programming. Programming will be flexibly constructed and will be designed to hit the day parts. Morning and afternoon drive will be preferred, and the planning of this will include members of the PNB and the GMs and PDs. That's the motion, and we can deal with that another time. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Okay, so now that Jim has exercised his point of personal privilege, we are now at the motion to go into closed session. Are there any objections to the motion to go into closed session? Hearing none, at 10:17 p.m., we are moving into closed session.